This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Day two of Falcon training camp, guys, live from inside of Stars and Strikes. It's called the Thirsty Turtle, and we invite you to come on out. Who was that nice gentleman you were talking to over at the bar, Mike?
We got a dude from Montana, man.
Hey,
no
man.
Joke, man. We're just talking. He's a loyal listener, big Dukes and Bell listener, 92.9, so he's out here drinking himself a Hey Man. So come on and drink a beer. We got it here at the Thirsty Turtle till 7 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow and Thursday. Fifth anniversary party, guys, coming up at Twin Peaks over in Kennesaw. But, yeah, man, always great to meet some new listeners, some new faces. And it's a cool vibe here. It's a great little bar. It's kind of become our hangout second summer in a row now because we watch Falcons practice. And instead of having to come home, we can hang out and talk to the coaches, players, and then zip over here and do the show.
Yeah, it's been great. The folks over here are terrific. And we really appreciate all the support up here in Buford. It's a hot zip, as we like to say, Mike, and I hope somebody up here has a meter. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Social media-wise, follow us. One of the DJs here, the resident DJ, was just showing me some stuff he's doing on social media with our show, putting our faces on bodies and doing all kind of stuff that
okay.
He's going to share.
I hope it's flattering.
Oh, it is. It's just funny. But follow us, man.
Have you done, by the way, the app that everybody's doing with showing you how you age?
No, because I'm seeing how I'm aging.
All right, now, real quick, I don't know if this is a scam, but a lot of people are saying if you're using this app, apparently people are going to be able to get all sorts of access to your information.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
I'm just telling you what I read.
Russia.
Hey, look, I read three papers every day. I read the AJC, I read the New York Post, and I read the LA Times. And I saw this story. Well, the AJC didn't have it, but I saw it in the two other papers.
Like, they can't go on Facebook or Instagram.
I'm just telling you. Bo, I'm just telling you what I heard. Whether this is a wives' tale.
But it just doesn't make it. Your stuff's already on the internet. When you put it on Facebook, it's on the internet.
Yeah.
So they suddenly can't get it.
I don't know. I just tell what I read.
I have seen this,
and I read this on the internet, so it must be true.
Well, I'm with you. I know my daughter was talking about it. Her friends are all doing it. Everybody's doing it. I've not done it because all I have to do is look at myself, and I go, "Look at
me." Look, I'm a fat Chandler from Friends. I'm going to be an old fat Chandler for Friends. Okay, you're Mike Tomlin. You're going to be an old Mike Tomlin.
There you go. Yeah, it's easy, but I do know that app is popular. I hope you're not getting your information stolen. That's cold.
I mean,
right.
I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's there's so many wives' tales out there. Because, you know, my wife listens to, like, every conspiracy thing on satellite radio. So, did you hear that app? Oh, yeah, they get all your information. So I'm like, okay, so that's three people. That's two newspapers and my wife. There's
now,
my sources.
Now, I will say this. You are a little bit paranoid, and we're going to get to our dog report coming up. But you've had, like, credit cards and stuff. Every time it seems like I'm with you, somebody's
every
calling.
Every time you and I, maybe it's you. Maybe you're the freaking thief. You know, you got a reader, got a credit card reader in your rucksack. Every time Carl and I do a road trip, we stop for gas outside Montgomery. Next thing I know, somebody drops $600 on plywood at a Home Depot in South Carolina.
Are you at a Home Depot?
No, sir. I'm rocking towards New Orleans. So, yes, I'm one of those guys, when I take money out of the ATM, I take the receipt, and then I stick it in, like, the card insert to see if there's, like, a reader or something. Yeah. As if I'm going to find it, right?
Just to make sure.
Right.
I know, man. It's crazy out here. Be safe, guys. But, yeah, I've not done that app. If you've done it, you can share with us. I'm curious to see what some of our listeners might look like, because I know everybody's been tripping out about it.
And by the way,
I can't believe how old I look.
If you have the app, take in the photos of us on Twitter and go post, see what we look like.
Yeah, you can do that. Hey, while we're sharing stories real quick, I do want to tell this one. So last night we leave here. We had a great time and a great day at camp. And I'm on my way home and I get this text. Bloop, bloop. And the text reads, I've had some issues at home with Trent, which is my daughter. So I just want to give you a heads up. And so now I'm on my way home, and
uh-oh.
I'm like, oh, great, you know. Because here's the deal. She's going through the teenage thing. And if you have teenagers, young teenagers, 13, 14, 15 even, you guys know that sometimes they feel themselves, all right? They do things, and they test you as parents. So I just figured, Mike, you know, something happened, no big deal. So I didn't even worry about it. I didn't even text back. It was like, I'm on my way home. I'll see you in a little bit. I get home. And there's, like, this silence at the house. Like, usually I come in and there's stuff going on and noise or music or whatever. And there's silence. And I walk in, And I said, hey, what's this thing you texted me about? What happened? So my wife says, well, I went to pick her up today because she's back in, you know, getting ready for school and doing all kind of dance and activities and stuff. And I picked her up, and she apparently had a great day, and then all of a sudden just had a meltdown and started screaming and fussing about things and things that weren't happening and things that, you know, like apps we're not letting her get and blah, blah, blah. So I'm sitting there listening, and I'm going, oh, okay, this is like a normal day.
Okay.
And so she said, so when she got home, she went upstairs, and she was really upset and, again, feeling herself, and she slammed her door.
Oh.
And I said, oh, okay, well, you handle it? And my wife calmly says, yes, it's done. So I didn't know. I stay downstairs.
Okay.
I eat dinner. I turn on the television. I have no idea.
Happy oblivion. Happy oblivious.
30 minutes later, I go upstairs, Mike. Her door's been taken off the hinges.
Oh, snap. Michelle took the door off?
Took the door off.
Bob Vila over here.
And so I'm like, what's going on with the door? So my daughter looks at me, and she just shakes her head, you know, because she's still hot. And I'm like, why is your door in the hallway? So at this point, it dawns on me. I start laughing. And my wife from downstairs, there won't be any more slamming doors around here.
Wow, nip that in the bud.
You're going to learn today.
Wow.
So.
Man, that's strong parenting right there.
Hey, and you know what I did? I chilled.
Hey,
I didn't
man.
Do jack. I was like, I'll see you later, Trent.
My name's Paul, and that's between y'all.
You're going to learn
she
today.
She took the hinges off. Hey, and then I'm starting to think to myself, you know, there are some things you could be touching up around here. I mean, if you're that handy, there are some other things you could be
wow,
doing.
Wow, that's, I mean, that, you know, I'm going to be honest.
The door off.
Dude, that's one of the greatest ideas I've ever seen. You guys, I don't want to give it away for folks who have not seen all the episodes, but they're halfway through the Stranger Things this year.
Yeah, I've
have
not seen started it? Season three yet.
There is a scene, though, where the girl who's got the special powers, and she's got the young boyfriend, one of the characters in the show.
Yes.
I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, yeah.
But Hop, the sheriff, he's upset. He's like, I want that door open 3 inches. They're in there basically making out, you know, like as 13-year-olds might do.
No closed
doors. He's like, I want that door open 3 inches. So when I heard you say that, that made me think immediately of Stranger Things.
Oh, great, man. Great. So here, it gets better, and then we got to move on. But here's the point. So today, she's out. She's with friends. I get a text message, and Mike saw this today, and I'm just laughing. So I said, hey, how's your day going? Because I wanted to check in. Are you serious, Dad? You posted this about me about yesterday.
Oh,
you
wow.
know I was upset.
Oh.
And you posted it. Some of my friends see your stuff.
Another chapter for the book. Radio Daddy Dearest. I'm telling you, it's coming.
So she says, please take it down. And Mike sees me reading this, and I'm laughing my butt off. So I'm like, honey, I understand. I'll talk to you later.
Honey, our lives are a story. Our lives are part of a story.
Oh, man. All right.
Dude, that's a great idea. By the way, people are already lighting up Andrew Hill on Twitter. Let me say big ups to Michelle for handling the situation.
Well,
props to
the funniest part was, you know, when you have something going on and you have, you know, whether it's your kids or you're having an argument, whatever, right. Usually there's a conversation. She didn't say anything. She just was like, it's handled. Okay, well, what's for dinner? Like, what are we doing? What's going on? We start talking. She doesn't say anything about it. I didn't realize it until I went upstairs and see the door in the hallway.
See, that's the thing. I got into it with my dad about something, and we argued about me mowing the lawn or whatever, and he's like, okay. And I had, like, an old black and white TV in my bedroom, and I come home from school, and the TV's gone. Cable sticking out of the wall. message received. I mean, that's good parenting, though. Get the message across,
man. Listen, and I don't know where this goes, but, yeah, she was upset because I let you people, who are you mean, our listeners, know
yes.
about it.
Wow.
It's Dukes and Bell, man. Let's talk dogs.
Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, man. We know now, Carl, that the big game of the year, one of the first big games of the many big games Georgia's got, will be in prime time. CBS says that we'll take some of that Notre Dame-Georgia action.
I love this, man. And again, some of these were TBA, to be announced. But now we find out a night game in Athens for the Notre Dame game. Now, I will tell you guys this because, you know, everybody knows if you're a dog fan and you're following the Georgia program, tickets are insane. That particular game, because Notre Dame doesn't come every year.
Right.
Notre Dame is a once every now and then kind of deal. But with that said, it just upped the ante. Because to have a nighttime game where guys, we're going to be tailgating all day leading up to this thing. And then the expectations for Georgia, I will tell you, I do expect Georgia to you know, beat Notre Dame. I'm not going to, you know, beat around the bush. I think they're a better team this year. Now, Notre Dame's going to come in here and give them everything.
Right.
But I do expect that Georgia will win that game, and I'm giving them a slight edge simply being at home. But, Mike, it's been a while since you've had this kind of game with a team coming in and a nighttime game, and now Georgia fans are saying, you know, what are we wearing? What jerseys? What's going on?
Let's not do a blackout. I don't want to hear about that nonsense.
They're not going to.
Silver britches.
They're not going to.
Red jersey, red helmet. Keep it simple.
I think there, if anything, you heard this with Jake Fromm. I think we talked about this with our correspondent, Chris Goforth, down there at SEC Media Days, where he talked about Fromm mentioned to Kirby that he'd like to wear the black jersey at least one time before he leaves Georgia, but I don't think it's going to be that game. Either way, primetime game for Notre Dame. You couldn't ask for more in Athens.
And there's a good article, by the way, and I think it was in the Chicago Sun-Times, because they cover Notre Dame up there, but they were talking about the toughest games of the year for the Irish. Mm. And a one-loss Notre Dame, can they even make the Final Four? Because, let's be honest now, if Ohio State, with their first-year coach, can handle Michigan, Ohio State, you could argue, is maybe going to punch their ticket this year. We've got a new quarterback again at Oklahoma, but that hasn't been a problem in the past with a new quarterback last year. They went all the way to the Final Four, too. But this is kind of one of those must-win, not to get melodramatic, but that is a must-win game for the Irish.
It really is.
And Georgia, now, it wouldn't hurt you in the SEC, but as we learned last year in the LSU loss, you can't sit there and say losing to the best teams we play are resume builders, right?
Let's just hypothetically say you lose to Notre Dame, and then you run through the SEC, and let's say you were to lose hypothetically again to Alabama. You're still a two-loss team.
Right.
Right. We've said this. Two-loss teams are not getting in the college football playoff. You can be a one-loss team.
Right.
You can't be a two-loss. So that's interesting to find out. Meanwhile, Kirk Herbstreit, one of our favorite dudes, man, had some interesting things to say about Jake Fromm. He's talking about, you know, the Heisman chase and Heisman contenders, Mike. He called Jake Fromm the best leader in the country. And I think, you know, coming from a guy that played that position, it's interesting to hear Herbstreit, who says, I think Georgia has a chance to have a magical year. And I agree with him, guys. And we talked about O-line solid. The receiver thing will figure itself out. You got running backs galore. The defense is going to be better, I believe, than last year. But he says, arguably, the best leader in the country is Jake Fromm. And I know he hasn't put up big numbers to this point in his career, but I even disagree with that. Dude threw 30-plus touchdowns last year.
Any other year before, you know, before we got to these kind of ridiculous, like, video game numbers the Big 12 throws up every year, that would have been a Heisman Trophy season anytime in the 2000s, right?
It would have been.
I mean, but we're in a different era now in college football. But, yeah, I mean, I think nobody who's following the Dogs over the years would debate that. You know, his acumen as a high school player, you know, calling the coach out in high school about what the playbook was, what it had and what it didn't have, and all the things you've heard about Jake Fromm as a leader. Like, he ran off Eason, and for whatever happened with Fields, he ran Fields off too. And the guys respect him in that locker room, and from everything we've heard from folks and around the program. So, yeah, all that's left, Carl, as we say every time we talk Dogs, is you know what you got to do. Win the SEC, man. Handle your business against Bama.
Yeah, he talked about his leadership, Georgia being talked about late in November. Don't be surprised. I still believe, and, you know, this is just from a talent standpoint and a projection standpoint, Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in the country. And if he came out this year, he'd be the first pick.
Right.
When he comes out, my guess is he will be the first pick. If he came out this last season, he would have been the first pick. But I do think that Jake Fromm, as I've said, will be in the NFL when it's all said and done. But that has nothing to do with where he takes Georgia this upcoming season. And I agree with Herbstreit. This dude has shown that he has a high football IQ and been a leader since he's gotten there.
You know, the Georgia Bulldogs, we've talked about, you know, what's the weakest link? Generally, wide receivers kind of come up first. But why can't the wide receivers as young, underclassmen, as true freshmen, shine with Jake Fromm?
They can.
Right?
They can.
Five-star, I mean, five-star is supposed to mean you can be plugged in and rock and roll. You're ready to go, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's why I can't wait. You know, the countdown is on to the NFL season. We're, 44 days or so away from the start of the NFL season. The college football season starts at the end of August as they move some of those big games up. You know, right. I can't wait. Meanwhile, real quick, as we talked about Dogs and college football, it's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical, man, 770-901-2500. If you're looking for a man cave, you're looking for home security, home monitoring, backup generators, they got it all. One call, 770-901-2500.
DeAndre Francois, Mike, apparently is not going to go to Florida Atlantic. He's going to maybe go to a Conference USA school. Have you heard anything about this?
Yeah, this is a young man that was you know, taking a beating for Florida State. He had an issue with a lady friend, which got him in some trouble. She later recanted some charges he put on the man, but by that time, Coach Willie Taggart had moved on, and he was going to move on down the road to Boca.
So he actually did something.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, well, again, that's a bit fuzzy too in that case.
Don't.
No, I'm just telling you the young man. I'll tell you this. If ever there's a guy who deserves some good karma, it's this kid, because I watched this guy be a greasy spot on the center of the field for Florida State for 2 years under Jimbo Fisher. Alabama, of course, you know, ruined his season and knocked him out of that game to start the year at the Mercedes-Benz. But here's a kid who, when he's got good people around him, he can deliver the football. He's a winner. Saw that comeback against Ole Miss a couple years ago in that citrus in the kickoff game down in Orlando, I should say. But, yeah, don't know what's going to happen down there. FAU had been the story, but now that's apparently blown up.
All right, man, we'll see where he goes. Here's the thing. When he got to Florida State, I thought he might be an NFLer. I don't know. I don't know what his future holds now.
I honestly don't know. I mean, this is one of those things when we talk about there's nothing worse than a man putting hands on a woman. We've talked about it and how the NFL has kind of been very inconsistent in how they've met out, you know, judgment on this sort of thing. But here's a guy that we got in this conversation because we were talking about Tariq Hill and his baby's mama. Sometimes if you've got a girl that you're just having these kind of problems with and the police are getting involved, you got to get away from that one.
Get out.
You know?
Yeah.
And maybe you're the problem. Maybe she's the problem. Maybe you're both the problem. But just end it. And these guys, he's lost a shot at the NFL career over that situation.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We talk dogs and college football each and every day here on the program. Coming up, Ricardo Allen. Rico joined our midday
show.
Dude,
does he look fired up or what?
And he looks bigger, believe it or not. I don't know in the rehab he was putting up more weight or not, but he does look a little bit more stockier. Ricardo Allen, find out what he has to say as he makes his way back to the ball field, or at least on the field with the Falcons, as he joined Andy and Randy. It's next on Dukes and Bell. Coming up as part of our Falcon Report at 5 o'clock, live from the Thirsty Turtle inside of Stars and Strikes in Buford, you will hear Calvin Ridley talk to us about a number of things, guys, including what kind of season he's hoping to have, what he thought about last season as reflects, and an interesting question about social media. It's all on the way in the 5 o'clock hour, along with comments from Dan Quinn and our quarterback, Matt Ryan. Right now, though, we want you to hear from Ricardo Allen, guys. Big part, Mike, of our defense, what he meant to our defense from a leadership standpoint and a communication standpoint. Again, I've said this, and remember when he got paid and Falcon fans were like, you know, is this guy worth it? Sometimes there are guys that you pay that bring the intangible things that are not necessarily the physical attributes on the field. Is he the best safety in the NFL? No. But he does exactly what Dan Quinn wants him to, and I think he's been a steady hand back there. And so it's going to be good for our defense to get him back on the field.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, one of the things we noticed. And, again, tomorrow, guys, the Falcons, if you're coming out, the weather should be great, low humidity, temperatures should be really comfortable up at Flowery Branch, and we're going to see the guys in pads. Really looking forward to see what they're going to be about, especially the newer faces, the rookies. But Ricardo Allen was a guy who kind of set the tone with some hard contact on Austin Hooper on Monday. He's another one of these offensive players, Carl, who just seems so amped up because whether it's about Dan calling the plays or whatever the connection is, these guys are fired up.
So Rico joined Andy and Randy on the midday show. Make sure you tune into those guys, man. 10 till 2 p.m. right before we come on. First thing they asked Ricardo Allen was, when did he know that he would be cleared and healthy enough to be on the field?
Oh, man, I always felt good, you know, going through my training and my rehab and stuff like that. I always felt really good, but I never knew the load that I was going to take, man. I was hoping that, you know, I was hoping it would be a good surprise that I was able to get out on the field and, you know, start the first day, but I didn't know if they were going to clear me or not. So when I heard that I actually had some plays, man, I was pretty excited about it.
When did you find out officially? Like, when did they clear you and tell you that you were going to be able to be out there yesterday?
Man, probably like right before I was going to get, I found out right in the meetings, right before I was going to go on the field, that I had had some reps in practice. And I was like, oh, man, it's time to go. Everybody kind of looked at me and was like, oh, let's go, man.
All right.
That was great, man, because I know that was a great day because we were looking at it. I was like, hold on, is that 37 out there?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, no, he's just out there. He did it. Then I go back over there and you're running team and I see you on the field. I'm like, oh, my God, this dude is actually out here practicing, because I know that day over there in the Mercedes-Benz against the Saints and when you hurt yourself and everything, I know that was a dark moment for you, but what was your mindset trying to get back? Because I know every athlete says, I'll be back by the start of the season. But, I mean, what was that mindset like?
It was a time to prove to myself, you know, my mindset was, you know, just – I got babies at home, man, so they ain't never really seen me. This is my first time going through injury and stuff like that, so they ain't never really even seen me down. So I was saying, like, if I'm going to be the one who preach to them and talk to them later on in life when it's time for them to, you know, because they're going to go through some hard times. Everything will always be easy. So I want to be the guy that I'm always one of the ones who telling everybody to keep going, always trying to build everybody up. I always got good spirits and things are going good for me. So when it was one of my first time, it was my first time being hurt. I wanted to see what kind of player, what kind of person I was, you know, when things got tough. So I always, you know, talk to myself. I've seen plenty of players get hurt and come back, make comeback player of the year, make, you know, some of the best plays, be some of the best players on the field. You know, Adrian Peterson come back from an ACL that one time and had one of his best careers. So I'm like, shoot, why not take this as a year that I can get down and, you know, I can study the defense a little bit more. I can start to study offense a little more. I can work on some of the things that I thought, you know, was my weaknesses and just, you know, keep building.
Falcon safety Ricardo Allen joining us live from Flowery Branch on training camp day number two. Ricardo, they say that the absence makes the heart grow fonder. I know that you wanted to be on the field last year, of course, but you weren't. I wonder if sort of having that taken away from you in the middle of your prime makes this season feel a little bit more special.
Yeah, it does, man. It's like you never really get like a – like when you hurt, you got to put life into perspective. It ain't – you're just a football player. I've been playing football ever since I started, and I've been grinding. That was like what I did my whole life. And you, when you're doing stuff for so long and you're doing things so consistently, it started to become like normal. It started to become like what life is supposed to be. And then when football is taken away from you for, you know, just out of the blue, you know, I blew my Achilles, a non-contact, just being by myself, you just, you know, life starts to slow down. You start to realize that, like, man, what else does this world, you know, have for me? All I can do is sit around and think. All I can do is sit around and really focus on myself. So I wanted to see, like, you know, I always say I wanted to see what kind of person I was. I picked up a lot of books, studied with my family. But, shoot, being in this season and being out, man, it makes life, you know, it makes football much more important. You start to enjoy and appreciate, you know, every time you're on the field because you know it really is a blessing and you'll never know when it's the last play.
You know, that's right. And I always say this about you, and it's always fun to interview. I would say you embody everything that Dan wants in a football player. Tough, you're smart. You try to beat him in the mornings during game week so you can get your prep on and everything. And we had a chance to talk to Mohamed Sanu yesterday, and he was talking about there's a different type of focus this year for y'all. Do you see that right now?
Oh, man, yeah, just even coming out today and just being in the rain, you know. People don't like practicing in the rain, but I swear, just, you know, we were sore, we were tired already, you know, that second day. First day of training camp, your body feel really good. Second day, you really get that shock, man. You're like, well, we just been running, we ain't hit nobody yet, but we still very sore. So it's like some people come out and be dragging around. It was raining, we could have easily, you know, made excuses about the day, but, like, this team was focused today. Offense and defense competing. We challenging each other. We're trying to take care of each other as much as we can. But, man, it is a real good focus going on around this team right now. It's like a good feeling to it.
Ricardo Allen joining us as practice just comes to an end up there at Flowery Branch. Now, Rico, we heard Dan Quinn address you guys the other day when everyone reported to camp, and he said he was, quote, more lit and more woke for this season than ever before. Is that true? Can you confirm the lit and woke Dan Quinn?
Oh, yeah. He's been on it the last 2 days, man. One thing he's not doing, he's making sure he's not letting anything slide, and he's making sure that if he got something to say, he's going to make sure he get on it right there. So I appreciate that, and I like that. And he's pushing all his players to keep going. He's pushing everybody to keep getting better. You can tell he's excited about this season because he knows who we are. Like, he knows who this team is. Once we get back to what we do and get everybody back healthy, get everybody on the same page, and when we know we're going to take it day by day because we've got a long time to go before the season starts, but we're gonna keep, you know, building these blocks every chance we get because we know what type of team we have.
What were your initial thoughts when you knew that he was gonna be the new defensive coordinator?
Man, me and Coach Quinn, we got like such like a you know, like I talk to Q, you know, on a daily basis, man, and I understand, you know, a lot of his mindset because, you know, he's really the one who like helped develop me and change me into like the free safety spot, you know, him and him, but. With Q just, you know, taking over the defense, I it's like because I've been with him for so long and I've seen the way he liked to call things, man, he just liked to let his players cut free, you know, play your player's strength and let's go get it. And I kind of like that because me, I'm the type of player, I work hard enough and I grind, you know, through the whole, you know, off season and during the season and stuff to be like when it's tough times, I want him to call on me. I want him to put me in the tough position to be able to either win or lose the game because I'm not just trying to be out there. Like, if I'm going to be a part of a game, I want to be either the reason we lost that thing or the reason we won that thing. And more time, I want to be a part of the win, you know?
Not everybody has that. That's a hell of a mentality to have.
Yeah, man, I'm not just trying to be out there. You're just wasting space just being on the field. Anybody can do that.
Right.
Hey, obviously Falcons fans last year were heartbroken, not just at your injury, but there was a rash of injuries on the defense. Keanu Neal missed the majority of the season. How does number 22 look so far through 2 days of training camp?
Oh, man, he's been looking really good. Just floating, moving around like he always doing, having his presence being felt, always in the box, man. He's moving real good. He feels real comfortable, man. We've been talking. It's been cool to just, go through that process just with my partner. It's sad that you don't never want to be hurt, but, like, to be able to come back, at the same time with your partner and to be able to work through our injuries together, man, it's just cool to be able to watch him because he looked good. He feels good. He's running good. He looks smooth. He looked like the old Kiki. So, that's a good thing for me.
And like you said, unfortunate, you did have an injury to one of your brothers, and a guy who was going to help you all out at that safe position, and JJ yesterday, just an unfortunate type incident. What about that loss for y'all?
Man, that hurt my soul right there because he was a good dude. Like he felt into like he blended into our room really well, man. He was a guy that came in, he took his role serious, man. You could tell he's done it before. He's been in the league. He knew his plays. He was challenging. He was competing, man. And, like, for somebody to go and work that hard and come into a group and, like, get the whole group to, like, appreciate him and bond with him and bring him in, man, it was tough to even see that happen, man. Because, like, me coming from, my whole time, my whole grind, just getting back to this game, I know how hard it is to actually just even get ready for training camp. And then when you go down on your first day, man, that's tough for anybody. You don't want to see no injuries for no one.
Ricardo Allen joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy live from Flowery Branch. Now, Rico, you said during your injury you spent a lot of time diving into the defense, but you also said you spent some time looking at offenses as well. I have to imagine it's going to be tough for defensive coordinators to game plan against what the Falcons are doing on offense this year. If that was your job, if you were tasked with trying to stop this offense, how would you even go about trying to do that?
Golly, I can't tell you. I'm going to tell you. It's tough. Because you don't know, like, who do you double? Who do you not double? Who do you single up? Like, that would be, like, the hardest thing because any of those wide receivers you don't want to get singled up. You got Pro Bowl tight end, got Pro Bowl running backs, got great offensive line, got an all-world quarterback. You just got to hope your player's ready to compete, man. You better get out there and just hope that they compete and hope that the offense make mistakes more so than they make completions and stuff because – it's like practicing against his offense, man, and have you so ready to go into the game.
Well, last one for me, and the guy who took over for you in Devontae Casey and had a really good year last year, now he's moving to that nickel spot. You know that heat in that nickel, and you also know the how it is to be back there at free safety. Which is going to be harder for him to adjust to, the free safety spot or being down in that heat at the nickel spot?
You know, he played nickel his whole life, coming through, like, college and all kind of stuff. But he's also a really good, like, free safety because he got, like, just a natural knack for, like, just going to get the ball. And if he get his fingertips on it, he's going to get that thing for sure. But it's just, like, everything comes with, every position comes with its pros and cons that you have to learn about it. You know, as a middle field safety, you don't have to learn, the bruises and the bumps of it. And the nickel spot, you don't have to learn the bruises and the bumps of it. So it's just, it's cool when all of us is out there because I played nickel too. I played in this defense for a while, so it's like I can always help. And he's doing a really good job of trying to, like, pick the wide receiver's brains of, like, how they attack nickels and how they do kinds of things. So he's trying to find a way to do, like, a deep research on the nickel position.
Hey, Rico, we appreciate the time today. It was great to see you on the field yesterday, and we can't wait to see what the season holds in store for you and the rest of the defense.
Thanks a lot, brother.
I appreciate that. It's good to be back.
Yeah, he is our guy, man. And I we've told this story. Falcons lose the Super Bowl. No one wants to talk. And Rico is on vacation on a beach. Literally, everybody's just like, I got to go clear my head. And he called the show, man. And we talked about the Super Bowl right after we had lost. But he's been very good to us. So big shout out to Rico, and it's good to have him back. Hey, coming up, Bo's got Yeah Man, No Man on the way.
Yeah, a special treat for our listeners, our fans. Look at this. Look at the crowd going bananas over here.
It's amazing.
Guy's got two hands on his Hey Man. Look at this. I've never seen guys go through tater tots like their last meal. Come on down, man. Great food here at the Thirsty Turtle where it stars and strikes in Buford. You can throw down, eat some wings, and drink some ice cold Hey Man. Man.
It's time for Yaman No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1", not really, from Florida, Kennesaw State, and gives rapid fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan.
That's a hell of an intro.
Man, and the live crowd just went bananas to Bo's introduction here at Thirsty Turtle. Hear that?
It's a heck of an intro. I hope you can live up to it, my friend. It is time for Yeah Man, No Man here on Dukes and Bell. Falcon Report is on the way, guys. But before we get to that, let's hear what Bo Morgan is talking about today. Go ahead, Bo.
Boy, I tell you what, that open just gets better every time
yeah,
I hear it.
Yeah, it really does.
I feel like a pro wrestler coming out to my theme song. Good job, Craig. So, Craig posted this video on his Twitter account of a MARTA train.
Okay.
And there is a pregnant lady on the MARTA train standing.
This was Sunday evening after the United match.
Yes. And I'm going to read what Craig wrote, and you guys can pay attention to this and tell me if you see something kind of wrong in this.
Okay.
Craig is, by the way, to clarify, Craig is calling out men for not giving their seat up to this pregnant lady.
Right.
He says, I gave a seat to my daughter and stood beside her. Pregnant lady gets on the train with her man. She looks around for an open seat, but they are all taken by men. So she stands by the door holding the rail. After a couple of stops, Craig sees that nobody is going to offer her a seat. So he offers his seat to the lady, but she declines. So after a couple of stops of Craig watching a pregnant lady stand, he finally decides to give his seat up.
Is that how it's been worded? Okay, because initially I thought,
good job, yeah. Craig.
Yeah, Craig, I mean, that's kind of half-hearted, though. His indignation, Carl, is kind of, let's be honest, a little off base since he did not offer the woman a seat either.
Well, he did after a couple of stops, Mike. It took him three stops.
No, I mean, I saw that, and other than Craig being lazy, yes, I would agree with him. That's ridiculous, man. Yeah, man, that's jive. Come on, guys. Social graces. I know everybody's in their phones, and no one's got situational awareness, but if you see a woman with a big baby bump, you might want to give her the seat.
Kindness is dead. It just is. Yeah. And
civility is dead.
It's dead. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. You know, our country, we've always had differences. We've always, you know, grown as a country, no matter our differences. But the basic things that matter don't exist anymore.
Have we ever been, as a nation, more self-involved? And this is about all spectrums, all sides. Have we ever been less or more self-involved than we are now in our own little worlds?
All I can say is, here's what I know. And we were just talking to one of our great listeners, and we were talking about upbringings, and he was talking about the situation with my daughter. This is what I know. If I was on that train as a young boy and my mom was there and I was sitting on the train and there a lady got on the train like that, I would have got the blank snatched out of me to get up and to know that a woman needs to take that seat. That's just, now, I'm just thinking about me. I can't speak to everybody.
Right.
But that is gone. And so because of it, you got clowns getting on the train, and they're going, well, I'm tired too. Why should I give up my seat? It's absolutely ridiculous. Kindness and civility are gone. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And I'm with Mike. Yeah, man. Craig, thank you for giving up your seat.
Yeah, good job, Craig, for being the one man, real man on the train,
yeah,
eventually, to offer your seat. Mm. So I go from one member of the show to another.
This was awkward today at Falcons practice. Listen to this, guys.
So
what?
Dr. Joe Crisman of Georgia Sports and Spine Rehab, he is the Falcons chiropractor. He travels with the team. I've gotten to know him. He's my chiropractor.
Right.
He's taking care of me. He's really good at what he does. And I introduce you guys. I'll let you guys meet him, and everybody's talking.
Real cool. He's real cool.
Very good dude.
And we're talking about
chiropractic,
and I was talking about how, you know, I'd seen that one chiropractic lady, and she wanted me to sign up for, like, a six-year contract and thousands of dollars.
You were feeling good, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, the thing with chiropractic, sometimes you just need a little, sometimes you need a lot. But anyway, we were talking about the business itself, and then you started talking to him about maybe your personal needs and desires.
Well, listen, I don't know if I put it that way. But come on, all I said to him.
Whoa, you know what? I'll say what you said because I don't want you twisting and mincing the words.
Don't water it down.
Okay, fine.
So to set it up, I'm standing there. We're all a part of the conversation.
Falcons are practicing in the rain. We're all having a conversation about chiropractic on the sideline, and Carl says this.
My head gets turned, and then I hear to the other way for practice, and I hear this come out of Carl's mouth. I would love for you to adjust me. Said in that tone. Very –
It was very, very come hither.
Yes.
You kind of like, I would love for you. You almost like, you like sighed. I would love for you to adjust.
And are you ever, guys, for to set it up, if you're ever in a conversation standing there and someone leans in when they say something, yeah. Carl leans in when he says, I would like for you to adjust me.
All right, listen.
Now, there's a way we used to be able to describe this. We can't do this anymore in the PC world. But immediately, Squid Blitter were like, oh, my God.
If it was like you were coming on to him. Yes. All right, I'm going to say it.
Okay, all right. First of all, he's great at what he does. I respect that. And then he's talking about how he's adjusted all these big football players and whatnot and bodybuilders. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, of course he'll be able to adjust me, and maybe I'd like to try the services. I was simply talking about his ability as a chiropractor right. to help enhance my life. You guys have taken this completely out of context.
Well, then immediately I was like, so, Carl, you really want to see his healing hands all over your body? You know, that kind of morphed into – then, of course, it just – as guys do, in a ball-busting locker room type environment, that's what we did.
You guys rode me for about 30 minutes, but I will say See what I'm talking about? You guys, I will say this. He was very kind and generous when he said, you know, hey, I'd love for you to come through.
Your hands supple?
I haven't tried this. I haven't been there yet.
Well, I'll be
but
honest.
He was nice about it.
Yes, he was nice about it until you walked away and he says, yeah, Carl's never coming in to
okay,
see me. Don't give him my card.
Would you stop it?
George's spine is forking your hip. That's my guy. But, yeah, I don't think you'll be allowed in his office.
Y'all are right. Silly, man.
Okay, real quick, because Craig pulled this around. Let me get to it. It was 50-year anniversary of the moon landing,
yeah.
I believe. Well, Buzz Aldrin was at some kind of event.
Yes.
And he had a heckler, and this happened.
You're the one who said you walked on the moon when you didn't. Calling the kettle black, if I ever thought of it. Saying
Will
I misrepresented
get it
myself.
Away from me.
You're a coward and a liar and a thief.
Oh.
All right, so this is one of these wackadoodle conspiracy theorists, contrarians, who doesn't believe we landed on the moon. And Buzz has had to deal with this guy before. So Buzz just punched him square in the face. And it's a great video, and good
wow.
for Buzz Aldrin.
Wow.
Yeah, he decks. He hits
old
boy.
Violence is never the answer.
By the way, real quick, because I knew we were going to go down this road.
Violence, Mike.
These contrarian dorks, this whole subculture of the internet, and guys see it in black and white. So, oh, no, America didn't do it. We went there five freaking more times. Six landings on the moon. The last one in December of 72. I met Gene Cernan down in Naples.
Why are you pointing at me?
No, I hate this contrarian crap, okay? The only reason we didn't go back to the moon is because Congress is like, look, we got to spend money on other stuff, and let's be real. We beat the Russians. That's what this is about, and we moved on. And it's a shame we didn't take it to the next level. But all these knuckleheads, these losers, the greatest country in the world, accomplished the greatest feat in the history of mankind, and we did it five more times, and good for you, Buzz Aldrin, beat his ass.
I don't know, Mike. These Hollywood sets can be convincing.
Oh, will you listen? Okay, OJ and Capricorn 1. Okay, get out of here with
no,
that.
No, listen, I'm with you, and it's one of the biggest and proudest moments as Americans.
Right.
That we've ever had. You know, there have been monumental moments as Americans. That was one of them.
And by the way, not only did we go there, we went back there, we went up there with a freaking car, okay? We put a car
sure.
on the moon.
Sure.
And another thing, when we did it, you know who was watching us with satellites and Bird Dog and everything we did?
Who?
The Russians, to see if we were going to fail, because they were going to blow it up in our face. And the Russians even had it in their freaking newspapers that we landed on the moon in 1969. So stick that in your pipe, you turds.
Yeah, but violence, Mike? I mean, to punch a guy in the
yes,
face?
Yes, that guy deserves it. Buzz Aldrin's an American. Now, granted, Buzz is a whack job, but he's still an American hero. Neil Armstrong was the quiet, silent type like Gary Cooper. And Buzz is a little bat crazy. But, yes, still good for him to wail on that guy.
Was it the moon where we saw the Transformers? Was the first time we saw the Transformers?
On the moon.
Yeah, was that on the moon or was it like Mars?
No, that was on the moon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, real quick. Mark Sanchez is retiring. He's going to ESPN. Yeah, no man, the one thing he'll be known for is the butt fumble.
Yeah, man.
You're not going to remember his trips to the playoffs with the Jets, who had a great defense, because, you know, he actually threw a touchdown, I think, against the Chargers, right, one of those playoff games.
Yep.
But the butt fumble, it was the last game of the Thanksgiving 3, and it was on national TV, and you couldn't miss it.
The thing I remember more about Mark Sanchez's career, which is a shame, is Bart Scott going, can't wait. What did Mark Sanchez do in those AFC Championship games? Nobody can even tell me.
He did right. not lose the game.
And that's, I guess, what, but that's the thing. The legacy is about what you did in those big moments.
Real quick, if Pete Carroll had his way and the guy stuck around for one more year without any bearing, any difference, if he goes to a different team, if he's not on the Jets, I mean.
I don't know.
It's one of those great questions, but he came out early and he had a decent run with the Jets, but it ended in humiliation.
Craig, hit the music.
Nice. All right, now. That's another thing, you millennials. Learn about Black Sabbath. Toughen up, for crying out loud.
Oh, Carl. I thought you were going to say learn about black people. Hey, coming up, we've got the Falcon Report.
Only if the chiropractor does first.
I'm just saying. When you said learn about black, I was like, whoa, Mike.
I want you to adjust me.
It's Dukes and Bell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.